Well, for us, what we would do in the off seasons, as my father would do when the picking would stop, rarely did us, our crew, he would break down the crew because at that time there was usually some members of the crew that wanted to follow the crops, move up north and pick strawberries and the grapes and that. So what that would do is that would break down his crew to bring down the numbers, you know, where he would have a crew of maybe 35 men. At that time, he would only have a crew of maybe anywhere from 10 to 15. And what he would do is that there were groves that owners wanted them to do pruning. And we'd do the pruning, girdling, we'd girdle the trees, furrow lines, break weeds, clean the canals. We'd work cleaning canals. We'd even during the times when it got real bad, we'd even just go to work. I remember working at an egg ranch one summer with my dad. My dad would go to work at an egg ranch just until the picking started again. So that's how we were able to survive. We also would work on crews for the Jacinto family. They're a pest control service that worked in this area of spraying groves, and we'd spray groves for them, spray the trees of pest, and that's what we'd do.
My leg's falling asleep here. Now the citrus season is, to some people, it seems like it's year-round. You can almost always get oranges in Redlands, but it's not. What do the seasons run out here?
Your navels would usually start, depending on what the year's like, they'll start as early as November. And they'll navels could run up till, in this area, up till, I would say, April. You know, I've seen navels in April. And then your Valencias would start as early as, May. And they will run, Valencias hold on to the trees a lot longer. So you're, September. Yeah, September. Maybe into even October.
So it's probably like a
there's
month.
There's only about a month.
A month or so break between both
in
seasons.
In between, uh-huh.
Let's talk a bit about your family's ranch. Let's tell me a little bit about how you came to this place.
Well, at all we found this place is again, like I said, me and my wife. Her family is from what they call Hidden Valley. I don't know if you're familiar with Hidden Valley. Are you? No, you're not. Okay, it's back here. It's a little settlement of maybe how many houses are back there now? And about six.
Yeah, about six
houses. At one time, there were probably 12. Mm-hmm. And motorcycles, of course, we couldn't afford motorcycles. So our fun was we used to build mini bikes. And me and my wife, at that time, we were dating. And we had jumped on a mini bike. And we were raised on Harold and 6th Street, Northside, up here in Redlands. And we would ride. Of course, like I tell you, there were nothing but groves. So we'd ride through the groves on a mini bike, me and her. And we would pass by this place. And going by and go up here, and that's the first time we saw the ranch. And this house was abandoned at that time, huh? It was just, there was no one living in it. It was just, everything was pretty much dead. It was a grove, but it wasn't much of a grove at that time.
And then we came back and people were living in it.
Yeah, then we came back by and people were living in it. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that it caught my eye, the place, because just by going by, because we'd spend a lot of time at our grandmother's house. Then we got married, and we were just going by for a visit, huh? And we saw that. Yeah, to your grandpa's birthday party. We were going to a birthday party of her grandfather up here, and we noticed that the house was empty. Windows were knocked out of it. It was abandoned. So I went ahead and said, well, let's look into it. And because at that time we were looking to rent a house away from a residential area because we wanted to raise some animals. Yeah, we were young. We didn't know anything, you know. So we came out. We looked at the house. It was all torn apart, and the grove was all dead. And we had, in our wildest dreams, we'd never expected to buy this place. It was just kind of like, could we rent it for a few years? And because we didn't know what we were gonna do, you know, we were married. We were just trying to make it. And so, anyway, what ended up happening? I went up to the neighbors, which is up the street here, and they had purchased that home from her, and it was a lady who lost her husband, and she was in the process of foreclosing this property, on this property. And so I asked her, I said, well, if possible, could we rent the home from you and we would fix it up? And she looked at me and kind of grinned and said, oh, what are you talking about? You know, come on, you know. I told her, well, just give us a chance, you know, give us a chance. So she says, sure, I'll rent it to you guys, you know. She says, but if you want to work on it, work on it. You know, it's up to you guys. I think it was just more like, yeah, just stop bugging me and you can live there, you know. So she told me, she says, you know what? She says, you guys don't even have to pay me rent. She says, just fix up the house. You know, so I said, well, great. So we started fixing it up. And I had, she would come around and see, she raised her family from here. And she had a lot of good memories out of this place. So she had talked to me about her getting the title back on the property. And at that time, it was 20 acres and the house. And she said, if I would be, if I knew anybody that'd be interested in purchasing the property. And I told her, I said, well, we told her, we go, why don't you give us a chance, you know, to buy the place? I mean, I'm not saying that you're going to get it back or whatever, or you have to, but can you give us first opportunity on purchasing the property? And again, she laughed, you know, because at that time, how old were we, hon?
18?
We're going to be 19 years old. 19 years old, yeah. And I told her, I says, give us a chance, you know. And she just says, okay, Jerry, okay, you know. So anyway, she'd come out and she saw the work we were doing to the house. And she really liked the work we were doing. I think she kind of admired our strength on trying to say we're going to do something, let's do it, you know. And I think that's what won her over, because she told me, she goes, Jerry, she says, I got title back on the property. She says, it's for sale. And I said, well, I go, how much do you want for it? She says, well, I'll tell you what. She says, I'm going to have a realtor come over and talk to you. And you let me know how much. She goes, first of all, she goes, how much land do you want? How many acres? Do you want the whole thing? Or do you want an acre, 2 acres? Or you just want the house? And yes, guy, you know, we were like, you're born in a residential area. You know, you have a small lot and you're saying, well, you know, an acre's huge at that time, you know. So anyway,
kind of walked down this way.
Yeah.
To see how far 5 acres was. And we looked at each other like, the house was way over there. We were way over there. We're like, yeah. I think this is enough.
Yeah. We could have bought clear out to Pioneer Street, you know. But I wish I did now. But then, you know, that's another story. So anyway, she sent over a realtor to us and with a 5 acres, we told her we wanted 5 acres.
Huh? Yeah.
And she sent over a realtor to us, and he sat down and he talked. He was real nice with us too. You know, a lot of times when you're young and you don't have any money, and you know, people would just you know, won't give you the time of day. But he was real nice, and he told us, well, here's the deal. You know, she wants $25,000 for 5 acres in the house. And me and Mary looked at each other, and that $25,000 should have been $2 million at that time. You know, it's nothing now. You really think about it, but it was like, oh God, you know, how in the world are we ever going to do this? You know, so she says, well, what she did for us was really, she's a good lady. She ended up saying, well, give me $25,000 for the ranch, and I'll carry back the paper. She'll carry the loan, because 19, who's going to loan us any money, you know? And she says, if you can give me a down payment. So then I talked to my dad, and we made an arrangement, and we ended up giving her $5,000 down. And that's what started it. And then the first year, we said, well, how are we going to put this money back? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do it? We started thinking, how are we going to make our payments to her? And I told her, I go, Mary, I talked to Mary, I go, well, you know, we have the first crop of, you know, fruit coming off. That's ours already. I said, we'd send that to the packing house. That will give us X number of dollars, and we'll be able to make it and this and that. And lo and behold, that was the first year in about 10 years we had a major freeze.
Oh.
Lost everything. Everything was lost. The grove, as it is, the grove was already dead. And the little oranges that it did have at that time, that was all we were hoping for, you know, it was just that. That was it. And there were weeds. There were weeds as tall as the trees in this grove, you know. And then we looked at each other and said, what are we going to do? We had a We had a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old son, and no money, no fruit money. We owed the owner money, and we were like, we had a house that was still half condemned. No grass, no fence, no yard. No, we had nothing. We had, yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about somebody that started from nothing, this is him right here. Me and Mary, we had nothing. Golly. And then from there, we talked to her, and she says, oh, you guys, don't worry about it.
Don't worry, you're going to buy this house. You're going to buy it.
And she says, just keep trying. Don't give up. And we stuck in there, and man, we made it with God's help. We made it. And the thing is the house itself, we did all the work ourselves. Nothing was ever hired out, you know, to say, well, you know, build this, build that. You know, everything has been done by us, by our own hands. The Grove, me and my father and Mary and my sons have brought the Grove back up. And then a neighbor of ours, Joe Soffel, real good man, passed away about 6 years ago, huh? Oh, he was a great guy. He, again, would stop by, and I'd be out there working in the trees or in the yard or on the house. He'd come by and get his mail, and he is a well-established farmer already. He's made his money, and he'd see me going like crazy, always working out here, and he keeps saying, yeah, you're going to do it, you know. We'd talk a bit, and one day he pulled over. He says, hey, why don't you tear half of this grove down and make some real money? And I said, how in the heck am I going to tear this grove? I didn't have the money to tear the grove down. How am I going to tear this grove down, you know? So then he goes, by going, how am I going to make money? You know, I don't even have, of course, like they say, it takes money to make money. And I said, how in the world am I going to do that? He says, well, tear down half of the grove, he says, I'll show you how to grow Christmas trees. He says, right now it's a great business. He says, that's what you need to get into. And so there we go. The first place we did, huh? No money. Again, so we started growing them in our yard, Christmas trees in our yard, in the middle of the furrows, right here, the drives of the oranges, Christmas trees, in between the orange trees, Christmas trees.
All over.
We had them all over. And then we saved up enough money that took us about 3 years. Huh? We saved up enough money to knock down an acre of oranges. We had a company, Jacinto, came out, they knocked down our grove, and we started planting our Christmas trees. I have to take you and show you the ranch.
Yeah, you can see that.
And we started growing Christmas trees. And since then, it's been now Christmas trees and oranges. We have a back section over here on the ranch where we grow pumpkins for Halloween, pink grapefruit, we have avocados. And eventually what I want to do is we're looking at buying another piece of property, expanding the Christmas tree farm, and I'd like to build a fruit stand where we grow all our crops and sell out of that, and get away from selling to the packing houses. I know the packing houses aren't going to be happy with that, but I mean, I'm going to try to, just like the apples in Oakland, try to package and ship our own fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think the best way to go. You know, there is a lot of talk that, you know, that citrus is dead, citrus is dying in Redlands. How do you feel about and you, of course, have seen all the development that's gone on, you know, in your very own neighborhood, hundreds of houses all over this area that weren't here a decade ago. What do you see as a future for this kind of life here in Redlands?
Actually, in the citrus industry, I see it as dying out. It's no longer going to be here. But those that are able to hold on to what they have. I know times are hard because you don't make a lot from citrus. The only way you can make it basically is if you're able to bag your own, sell your own, grow and sell your own products. That's the only way you'll be able to do it. Then you make something. Of course, it's not that great, but you do make more than if you were to sell to a packing house, because like in everything, the middleman always makes it.
Yeah.
So if you can do that, you're going to be okay. But in my part, I mean, I'm sorry to see the groves go because we were raised around them. But on the other hand, it doesn't bother me so much because those that are turning around and selling their groves is only making it better for us, because that means there's less of that product, and that means it's going to be more in demand. And we're seeing that more. I cannot grow enough oranges. I cannot grow enough citrus. they buy it quicker than I can pick it, get it picked. I have guys that pick for me now, and we bag it, and it's gone. I mean, that little fruit stand that we have out there, it's gone. Matter of fact, I think I walked out there, and there was only like two bags of pink grape. We just stocked that thing yesterday.
I've got to pick on it before I leave.
Yeah, so we're, you know, in that sense, it's great for us because you're finding more and more of that. The groves are going, so there's less citrus.
So do you think that the small rancher is going to be the one that is going to overall benefit by all of this, by the washing out of this? Yeah.
If they can hold on. It's hard, though. You got the bills coming in. You know?
I know that I've been told that the larger growers, big business growers, are now working out of out in Kern County and Imperial growing oranges. Mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. that where the whole focus of it is shifted to?
They're out in that area now. Yeah, Hammond is really growing. Mm-hmm. Hammond, you go up to Hammond, they've got hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of acres in citrus.
Now, citrus requires, or does it, correct me if I'm wrong, but it requires a great deal of water, more so than, or is it a fairly, can it do without water for
during the summertime, it requires a lot of water, and you can go anywhere from, like, depending what your soil is like. In our area here that we're sandy soil, we have to go every 7 days. Other areas, they'll go every 10 to 15 days, but they'll water, they will irrigate 24 hours straight. Us, we'll irrigate maybe 8 hours. So it just depends. We feel that because of the sandy soil, it doesn't retain the moisture as much as if you were in your red soil or your, you know. And so we irrigate more often, but at shorter periods of time. And that's the way we're able to do it. And it cuts down on our water bill by doing that. Again, people just think, you know, that's what's so interesting is that people just think, well, you have a grove, you know, you have a ranch, and you live on it, and that's all you do, you know. There's a lot. There's a lot to know. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to be done. You know, you're always working. You're always figuring new things out, new ways about going about things. And people just don't understand. They don't realize all the work that's involved. You know?
Well, how long is a tree, is it reasonably productive for? How long do they last as far as good?
Okay, I've been told these trees are from anywhere from 65 to 80 years old already.
Really?
Yes.
Why? And most of them were not in really good shape when you moved here.
No, they were dead.
You brought them all back.
Could I get a pause for a minute?
Sure.
I could speak to. I got my. It's just like, you know, they say you just people will.
I'd like to talk a bit about the technical side of managing and running a grove. Now your groves, and you have a lot of different crops, so from trees to citrus. So I would imagine that each thing requires something different.
Mm-hmm.
On larger groves where you have 100 plus acres, right? And for oranges, 100 acres is a lot of acreage, I would imagine.
It is.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference in terms of like the scale of maintenance between what you would be doing here, since it is your own, you have to be doing, I'm assuming you do a lot of the work yourself,
mm-hmm.
and say a ranch hand on a grove, 20, 30 years ago. What's in terms of just the amount of work you have to do, what types of things do you have to do? How much time do you spend here?
I think it's easier now on the maintenance end of a grove, to care for a grove, because there are so many chemicals that have been introduced into the industry. And a lot of equipment and machinery that makes it easier, that does a lot of the manual labor that you used to have to hire, say, a man to do this and a man to do that. You know, nowadays for pest control, they use a helicopter. Where years ago, you had to go in with a tanker pulling. Still, a lot of them still do that. But they've gotten away from that more and more, where you have a tender where You have a guy that sits on a tower with a pressure nozzle, a hose. Another guy's on the bottom with hoses, and you're pulling them through, and you're spraying the trees by hand. Where now all you do is you just go down to this company that's here in Redlands, and you tell them that you want to spray for thrip or for black scale or spider. And they'll come in, and with a helicopter, when they hit acres, you know, at a time. 20 acres to them, a few passes, and that's all it takes. And scale-wise, of course, it's like anything. The more you have, the more you have to do. The more you have, the more the expense. But then it all basically breaks down to the same, because, of course, the more you have, the more it's expensive. So, but then again, the more you make, the less you have, the less you make. So it all works out about the same.
Have there been any problems since you've been doing this here? Any problems with disease, crops, anything that's been widespread, or has there been any?
In this area, basically no. We've been pretty fortunate. But the thing is that now we have that MedFly, and the county comes out and they put traps out. And if it is found in this area, it's going to be a problem for the growers. It is. There's no doubt about that. It's going to be worse for a lot of the growers that ship their fruits out of state, to other countries. Matter of fact, like a lot of our fruit ends up out of the country, and that's what's so weird about, when you go to a store and you buy an orange, it's not that great. It doesn't look that good. It sure doesn't taste that great. Actually, all of our good fruit goes out of the country, ship it out to Japan and China. We get all the seconds. So if you really want a good orange, you're best to go out and pick it off a tree yourself, or to buy it from someone that's growing them there on the property. Then you'll have good oranges.
Yeah. There's been some debate, and this has gone back for a century since they first started growing oranges in Redlands, about the type of soil. Out here towards the wash, you got sandy soil. Up in the heights, they've got more clay, harder soil. And there have been those that said, well, this type of soil grows better oranges. No, this type of soil grows better oranges. To your knowledge, your experience, is there any truth to that, or is soil? It depends on who's growing it.
I've seen groves that, yes, there are a lot of oranges. Again, it just depends on the taste. Now, for us, what we're into, of course, is satisfying our customers, because we want them to come back. And for some reason, and you can talk to a few of our customers at any time and ask them about the orange. The oranges are great tasting. Now, I don't know if it has to do with the soil, the fertilizer, I don't know. The water or what we're doing. But all I know is that the oranges taste really good off of our grove. Now, I've seen groves that up in where the red soil is, that composed granite is. And the fruit is dark orange. It looks beautiful. The trees look beautiful. They look very healthy. But the fruit doesn't taste good. It's just like a sour taste, or no taste at all to them. And to tell you the truth, I myself would think it's more of the care you give your grow. That's all. If you do what you're supposed to do and things go right for you with Mother Nature, you'll do okay. I think that's basically it. It's not so much into the soil. Although you get those that will say, I've had conversations with growers that say, well, this is better, do this, do that, you're supposed to do this, but it's to each their own.
Yeah, that seems to be something, like I said, it was just going back and forth. I hear from one person that it's just, no, they're wrong, it's this place.
Yeah.
This is better. Is there anything that you'd like to say about just being a part of this industry, being a part of the citrus culture here?
I can say that I enjoy it. I do.
Other people would take more interest in my citrus, though.
Yeah, really. You need to have more people involved and get involved with the citrus. Try to save it and save what we do have left. That I would like to see. You know, I'd like to see the city of Redlands try to push something to kind of make it mandatory that maybe, I know they're speaking about this green belt that they want to keep, yeah. But I'd like to see the citrus stay because, of course, it's part of our heritage. It was here for years, and it's been here for years. But all in all, I would say I do enjoy it, but then again, I would say that too because I really don't know anything else. You know, I was raised, my dad was a citrus farmer before I was born, you know, and I know nothing else, you know. And the only thing as I made the push for was for us to own our own ranch rather than working for other ranches. That was my big thing to do that, but I enjoy it. I do. I think it's a great way of life. I think it's a good way to bring up your kids. You know, I think it is. It's hard work. It disciplines them, and they appreciate what they have and what they get.
Yeah. Do you think that there's anything about Redlands that has made it unique or different, special, whatever, out of the citrus growing areas in Southern California, in the western area? Western states grow citrus. And there seems to be something that people find about this town that you can go, you know, towns away and never quite get the same feeling. Do you feel anything?
You know, I'm not one to really, I couldn't really answer that because, again, I know no other, you know. I was born at Redlands Community Hospital. I've been here all my life. And I haven't lived we travel now that we're able to.
But we see, like, other people that come that
they speak very highly.
Yeah, they, you know, they want to pick that orange off the tree, just one orange off the tree themselves.
They want that experience. Or they want to
take the picture with that tree, that orange tree, you know.
It's you like, should see, yeah, the people that come in and take pictures.
Yeah, they want to take a picture. It's something we see all the time.
I tease Mary, I said, Vic, if they like picking so much, I'll give them a sack and they can go to it.
Their clippers, bag, yeah. They're set.
They can pick the oranges.
No problem here. Go for it. Just let me know when you're tired or you want to quit.
Yeah, that's the only thing we see. That's, you know, but, I mean, we see a lot of people. We have just what the guy that lives in Forest Falls, what's his name, Gary. Yeah. He has a little boy that he wanted to come and ask us if he can have his little boy pick a tree. Pick an orange off the tree. And we said, yeah, go ahead.
We saw him at the store and he asked permission if he could bring his son in to pick an orange.
Yeah.
That was a big thing for them. You know? Get people out of, back east out that way. They come out and then, you know, we come to the fruit stand, they're taking pictures and they'll ring the bell. And would it be okay if we pick an orange? Is it okay if we stand by a tree and take pictures and do this and that and asking questions? And it's like, you know, we're both raised with it, so yeah. We really know no other. And,
I grew up on the north side, but there was always oranges somewhere around, either a big bag that my dad had picked or just down the street in somebody's grove. So I know you get used to that.
And you're probably like us, you know, you see these people in the store buying a bag of oranges, and in your mind you're saying, those are no good. You don't know what oranges taste like.
You're not buying oranges.
Yeah.
It's a sun-kissed or dull across the side. You're not getting a good orange.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but is there anything else? We have got a couple more minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Not really. I think that I don't like the humor at all. Is there anything?
Just like seeing the people when they walk through, you know, they get an orange and they pick it and then they look around and they go back and get another one. Or even the bike riders, you know, we used to have those bike races. They come through and they practice, I guess, and they stop and they'll pick a couple of oranges and they'll sit there and they'll, you know, they'll eat them and they're like, this is the good vitamin C that you can get or whatever, you know.
Best stuff. Get it right off the tree.
Right up, perfect. Right,
and that's and that's nice to see. You know?
Yeah, it
we
is.
Don't mind that. We enjoy them to come and sit down and see them sit by a tree or on a bike. And I mean, that's, you know, it's a great picture to see that, you know. People don't spend enough time to do that anymore. Everybody's too rush. And I think that was the time. I think that's what I'm saying, that it's changed in that sense. Everybody's just like, it's a rat race, you know. Everybody wants to.
People need to slow down.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I want to thank you both very, very much for your time and your words. Appreciate it.